Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life,
good evening, and welcome to Atlanta Life Radio Presents, There is Life After Layoff. Join the conversation with our show host, Allie, and our co-host, Doc, as Allie shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the hosts or Web Talk Radio agents shall be held liable for the content of programs, including advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this Web Talk Radio program. Now, as we say each and every week, grab your journal or a piece of paper and a pen so that you can take notes as you take this journey with us this evening. And we have a hearty discussion prepared for you this evening. And now, join me in a virtual applause as I welcome our host, Allie, to the air. Allie?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of There is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my regular co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward Porter, the founder of Elite Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders. It is always our pleasure to be your guides as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off and as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions. Please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And you can also follow me on my newly designed blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And you can also find out more about Doc and her services by visiting her website at www.elisepsychologicalservices.com. And if you wish to contact us directly, you can always do that via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter. You will find me tweeting at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And guess what? I'm on Instagram at #AllieWard45. So on behalf of Doc, Mel D, and myself, and the entire There is Life After Layoff radio team, we sincerely thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into the issues related to the experience of being laid off. Now, tonight, I have the honor and pleasure of being joined by our executive producer, Mel D. Thank you for joining me, Mel D. And you know what? Tonight's topic is a very important one and also one that many of us really don't want to face. What do you think about that?
Oh, yes. Well, first, thank you for having me as your co-host this evening. And this is a very, very special topic. And I know as we get further into the show, we're going to actually talk about our own personal experiences. And we're really, really honored and blessed to have a special guest with us this evening, Ms. Lee Lambert. And we'll be bringing her on air shortly. Thank you,
Anne. Yes. You're welcome. And thanks again for always being with me, you know, when I can count on you. I'm excited about our guest who you mentioned will be joining us in a few moments to share her experience with us related to the cycle of care and caregiving. Now, and in a moment, like you mentioned, you and I will also be talking about our personal experiences with that. But before we get started, I always want to remind our listeners that we are using this forum as a way to uplift, empower, and hopefully inspire those of you who have been affected by a layoff. We are not here to complain, ridicule, or point fingers at our former employers or colleagues. And we're definitely not here to feel sorry for ourselves. But mostly we are here so that we can share with you our journeys of rediscovery and empowerment. But most of all, the There is Life After Layoff radio team, we're here to serve you, the community as we give you a voice by offering you the opportunity to share your story. So with that said, I want to invite our listeners to call in and share with us. So you, if you want to share with us this evening, you can reach us by calling 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air lineup in our host queue. And we certainly look forward to talking with you. And one last announcement, if you happen to miss a particular show, you can catch up on what you've missed through the Atlanta Life Radio website, again, at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And it's so easy to catch up because we have all of our past recorded shows on the automatic player box on the programming page. You just click on the show you want to listen to. It'll start playing for you automatically. And guess what? We're also on iTunes. So you can search for Atlanta Life Radio under podcasts, and there we are. And as I mentioned, all the past recorded shows are available, and tonight's live show will be uploaded about an hour or maybe less than an hour after it airs this evening. And we thank you for continuing to tune in and for catching up on what you may have missed. So now we are actually ready to get started tonight. And I mentioned earlier about how important our topic is, and it is one that, you know, oftentimes families don't want to address until it's too late. Okay, and when we talk about the cycle of care, we're actually talking about the cycle that starts with your parents taking care of you as a child, of course. And then as we grow up and become adults, we have our own children and that we care for. But then guess what? As our children are getting older, our parents are also getting older, and then we in turn have to turn around and end up caring for our parents. Okay, so it's like a cycle. Melody, the inspiration for this show was inspired, of course, by my blog, There's Life After Layoff, which I was spirit-led to create as a result of my being laid off from my job. Now, most of us would consider that to be a life-altering event, okay? And you know what, Melody? Caregiving, you know, like I said, is a life-altering event for most of us because it's maybe attached to something, you know, somebody getting an illness or a disease or something, a parent or what have you. And, for example, with my family, I have to say that we really started thinking about caregiving and getting prepared to take care of our parents when my mom was diagnosed many years ago with, you know, lung cancer. But then when I started really thinking about that, my mom was already in the mindset and being proactive in making sure her affairs were in order and my dad's affairs were in order because when I thought about it, we actually had relocated from New York to Florida to actually care for my grandparents.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You know? And I didn't think about it.
Right.
So, you know, my mom had already, you know, been in the mindset of taking care of, you know, her parents. And so I think that kind of sparked her or started her thinking about, you know, getting her affairs in order. Of course, that was years, of course, before she even knew that she was going to get lung cancer. But at any rate, it served a purpose for her, you know, really getting her paperwork and just making sure that things were in order. And so it was just a matter of when she found out that she was ill that she just had to sit down and talk to myself and my siblings, you know, about what was going on and letting us know where to find what. So she was really organized, which was a good thing, you know. So it made that traumatic event of losing her a little easier, if that could be easy, at all. But now we're at a point in my family where we're taking care of my dad and making sure that he's okay, because he's in his 70s, and so my sister and I have kind of, you know, stepped up to the plate. My sister has been the main person who's kind of taken the lead because she lived in the same state with my dad, so it was easier for her to take care of, you know, his affairs. And but we do discuss everything, and, you know, we have a meeting of the minds if there's issues or what have you, and I'm there to support her in any way I can. Although I'm long distance, I still support, you know, even if it's just to listen to what's going on, and then if she, you know, needs my input on something or she needs me to do something, then I do step up to the plate. And it's even a matter of me checking on my dad, you know, calling and keeping in touch and letting him know that he's loved and that we're here and that we're going to make sure that he's okay.
Well, that's good, Ally. Definitely. You know, because this is now the new normal, you know, with the advances in medicine, you know, people are living longer. So, you know, for our parents, their parents maybe lived into their, you know, late 60s and 70s. But now we're talking people living into their 80s, 90s, and even reaching 100. So you're talking about that third chapter of life, and that could be the most expensive part of life towards that end, because for a lot of people, they do lose their independence. And with a lot of children who now have moved away, you know, you're here in Atlanta, your father's in another state. I'm in the same situation where my parents are in New York. Mm-hmm. So between my siblings, I'm blessed with two sisters and a brother. But, you know, not everybody can step up and be that primary caregiver. So we have sort of had the meeting of the minds and had the discussion who's going to be primary and then secondary and then, you know, involve everybody. And my brother had to step up because, first, he's the only boy, but more importantly, he's more able to step in and help my parents. And he's physically there. I'm the oldest, but I'm here out of state. So, like I said, this is the new normal, and I think this is a timely conversation, and I think a lot of our listeners, you know, with, when we talk about life-altering events and trying to find your life purpose and what do you do after a layoff, you know, family transitions are also another major life event, which, you know, we've talked a lot about on the air. And I think a lot of our listeners have been asking, you know, well, what about this situation, whether it's divorce, losing a loved one, and now caregiving. So I am so happy we're covering this topic this evening. And I've even invited some listeners who I know are caregivers, so I hope they are listening and will be blessed by the show. I know they will be blessed by the show.
Right. So, you know, you've kind of shared a little bit about your experience, but at this time, do you want to do the honors of introducing our special guest for tonight?
Oh, I would certainly be honored to do that. I feel honored to introduce Ms. Lee Lambert, who has a phenomenal story, and I know she will be an inspiration to our listeners because not only is it her journey that she's going to share with us, she's going to give us, our listeners, some insights. We're going to have a nice conversation. And she's going to share with what she's doing with her life and how her life purpose has been defined and what she's moving into. So without further ado, Lee, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much. How are you, Melinda and Allie?
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank
you,
I'm really glad
to be here.
Yes. Well, we're going to start off with, why don't you tell us about yourself? And I'd be interested, I really would like our listeners to hear about, you know, your career and then how caregiving evolved into your life.
Sure. Well, I'm 50-something. And, you know, that's when a lot of this happens. And, you know, when you have to reinvent yourself. And so early on, I guess I have a degree in interior design, and so I worked as a tenant development manager at, you know, those green glass buildings at 400? All of those office buildings, I did all the design and interior build-out, the construction of the office space.
Okay.
And so after that, I didn't want to work for anybody ever again, and I started a company called Design Temps. So I actually found jobs for people, and they were interior designers and architects on a temporary basis before, you know, people were focused on that industry on a temporary basis. And then after that, I decided that I wanted to open up my own construction company. And that led into a manufacturing company. And I had about 80 people, and at one point we were one of the fastest growing companies in Atlanta.
Wow. Awesome. That's awesome.
And so, the journey.
how did you become a caregiver?
How I became a caregiver, I've actually been a caregiver twice.
Okay.
When I was 15, my mother got cancer. And so it's very interesting what happens with children, you know, when there's a family member, a parent, that has a chronic illness. She was sick about 5.5 years. And so, you know, a child is not if they're not failing in school or trying to commit suicide, everybody thinks they're okay, and they're not.
Right.
And there's very little language, you know, that goes on, at least in my family, about how they feel, because the focus is not on the child, which, so they, you know, children get robbed a lot of their childhood and expressing themselves and the ability to have just fun, you know, when there's an illness.
Right.
So she passed away, and then my father got Alzheimer's when he was, I guess, in his late 70s. Well, no, I'm sorry. It was in his early 70s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was never a question that I wanted to take care of him, because I don't know. There was an early age. I just decided that I always planned on taking care of him.
Right.
And so I tried to be ready financially to do that.
Right. Were you the only child?
Well, I might as well have been the only child.
Oh, okay.
I had a sister. This is not uncommon.
Okay.
I had a sister, but we weren't close, and so I just took the full responsibility of taking care of him.
Right. So you said that you planned on taking care of him. So in that preparation, what were some of the key elements or things that you wish you had known a little bit more about in terms of caregiving before you actually became his caregiver?
Well, I had this big plan of taking care of him, but I had no details of how, and I didn't consider the fact that he might be ill.
Okay.
So that was not even a consideration. I just wanted to help him as he aged. So I had absolutely done no preparation except to try to be financially able. And, of course, as a caregiver, you can only be financially able for so long if you're not working.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And fortunately, you know, with my business, I was able to do that for the whole time. But at the end of it, you know, there was nothing left. So.
Wow.
But it was a big problem to know what to do. In fact, the whole thing about everything being unknown and not knowing what to do next, that is the thing that causes so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I had I gained weight. I gained 50 pounds.
Wow.
I became pre-diabetic.
Oh.
I was like a shut-in. I had huge anxiety. I had panic attacks.
Oh my goodness.
For the longest time, I mean, it's just actually recently that I've started flying again, you know, as far as planes.
Right.
It was almost like a PTSD kind of thing.
Okay.
Right.
You know, when there's an extended period of stress,
Right. Yeah, because like you said, when you were thinking about taking care of your parent, you were thinking healthy. But now here's Alzheimer's, and that brings on its own a whole paradigm shift in terms of lifestyle. So
absolutely.
Yeah. What? This is just a part B to the first question I asked. In terms of your lifestyle, because you talked about all the stress, how were you able to adapt and deal with your own personal stressors? In being his caregiver, how did you deal?
Well, let me just preface it by saying that you really can't handle the logistics of caring for someone if you don't handle the emotions.
That's good right there.
And so the emotions are key. And And I really wasn't able to handle the emotions pretty much throughout because I didn't have any guide. And so and caregivers are so isolated typically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people just don't know what to say to you after a while, you know?
Right.
And so and what happened was that really toward the end and after he died, I had to sort of make it back to wellness. And it was a process of coming back. And that's why it's so important to manage those emotions, you know, as you're going along rather than waiting until later, you know. But what I did when I after he passed away was I developed a routine of wellness. I called it the emotional gym, you know. And it's not just physical, but, you know, it's like if you don't keep up routines and it's not just one thing, it's
right.
not just one thing. I mean, I did Qigong. I did this kind of a biofeedback for the brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I walked. I did something that I called the surrender prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the surrender prayer I did every single morning, and every morning it was different. I mean, I would just... It's so important to, like, empty your cup every day.
Yes, yes.
And so what I did was I said, okay, I surrender my finances. I surrender my home. I surrender my dog. I surrender my car.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I surrender my inabilities and my abilities. I surrender my past, present, and future. And every day it was different, and every day I felt like I was starting new again.
Wow, that's good.
That was one of the most important things that helped me.
Let me ask you this, Lee. I know you mentioned earlier about, you know, at 15 you had to kind of step in the role of being a caregiver for your mom who was ill with cancer. Do you think that any of the feelings that you experienced when you were 15 kind of resurfaced again as you had to care for your dad and kind of added to the stressors that you experienced? Do you think that there was any relation and that some unresolved issues maybe?
You know, I don't at all. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is that family dynamics is a huge, huge part of caring for a loved one.
Right.
And when you – it wasn't that event resurfaced.
Okay.
What resurfaced was unfinished business that had nothing to do with her illness,
okay.
but that had to do with my relationship with her,
okay.
which was not good.
Mm.
And so and with my sister.
Okay.
So family dynamics is just is a very challenging part of this.
Okay. I can imagine
it really
that
is. And what I'll say even further about that is that I feel like that caregiving is this extraordinary time to heal those wounds.
Hmm.
And those wounds, we're talking about life after layoff,
right.
those wounds I think are the main issues
mm-hmm.
from the past that kind of drive everything.
Right.
That are kind of hidden from you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have this opportunity to go back and heal the past,
okay.
then all kinds of things open up.
Mm.
You know, it's
yeah.
like you're able to come out and be the person you were meant to be, you know, when you shed all of those things from the past, when you heal those wounds.
Wow, that's good.
That's powerful. Good.
Absolutely. Yeah. We talk about it on this show a lot, about balance. You know, you have to have balance in all of those areas. And so, like you said, it's really key that you have to be able to deal with the emotional side of that as well as all the other things that, you know, go along with being a caregiver for, you know, a parent. So, you know, that's very, very key that, you know, and that surrender, I love that. I the power of, you know, what you say and what you think, people don't understand how powerful that is. So, you know, that was great.
It is so powerful. You know, if you are in a high-powered job, caregiving makes you sit still. And you really don't have an opportunity to ever do that and to really integrate the kinds of changes that you need to make in order to make the changes in your life. I have a little quote here that I'll read you that's from my book. In fact, writing was the first way that helped me, the process of writing helped me to heal after my father died. It's called Hardship is the Good Stuff. It's what bonds us together and shows us what's real. It prioritizes what's important and develops us from the inside out. Hardship gives us the opportunity for accelerated change, to see clearly and to participate fully.
That's good.
So it's this, to me, the thing that's happening during caregiving, as these old wounds surface, as you're trying to learn how to take, you know, do the logistics, is that I just think hardship forces us to pay more attention and to reprioritize everything and to become more conscious and to live in the present moment.
That's good. Absolutely. And I think we also grow the most during hardship or
you do.
During trial and tribulation, because I know, personally speaking, I when I'm faced with something turbulent going on in my life, that's when I really learn the most about myself.
That's right.
You know, so that's good right there. I think this is probably a good time. We're going to go ahead and take a short station break, but we're going to come right back afterwards and continue our conversation with you, Lee. So we invite our listeners, if you want to engage or address a question to our special guest tonight, please call us at 347-324-5246, and please make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio with Ali, Mel D, and our special guest tonight, Ms. Lee Lambert. So please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
If you are just joining us, you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff with our host, Ali. I'm the co-host this evening, Mel D, and our special guest, Lee Lambert. I want to take this moment to thank all of our listeners who tune in each and every week, and also to our sponsors who, without your support, this show would not be made possible. And listeners, our audience, we have heard you. We have answered your questions, and we are now planning for our first annual conference. And the conference theme is Seek Me, Awakening the Purpose Within You. The conference will be on April 11th here in Atlanta at the Atlanta Marriott Century Center. We have wonderful guests and keynote speakers, inspirational speaker Deborah Hightower, special guest speaker Nikki Payne, and our mistress of ceremony, Ms. Linda Goodwin. To learn more about the conference, and it's an intimate conference, we only have 75 tickets, and the tickets are going fast, so please register. You can register by going to our website, which is www.atlantaliferadio.com/events. And also, if you are a vendor and interested in participating and being a vendor/sponsor, please contact me by calling me at 678-856-7603. And now we return back to our program. Allie?
All right, we are back. And if you're just joining us, welcome. And you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And I'm Allie. And along with my co-host tonight, Mel D, and our special guest, Lee Lambert, we encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. and follow us on Twitter at Allie Ward 45, and at Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio, and you can check out my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And once again, I encourage our callers to call in and speak with our guests or just to share your story. We want to hear from you at 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. So now we are actually going to continue our Cycle of Care episode. Mel D is my co-host tonight, and we're going to continue this conversation with our special guest, Lee Lambert. Mel D?
Yes. Before we went to the break, Lee, you were talking about the hardships and actually going through sort of like, I would call it sort of like decluttering your emotional life and kind of getting back to who are you. After this caregiving experience, how do you go back to that life of what you did before the caregiving, or how do you pick up the pieces and how do you continue living your life? Can you share with us, after your father's death and moving on to glory, how did you come back to being Lee, and what did you discover, and what new business ventures, or just how did you come back to Lee maintaining Lee's life?
Well, that's a big question. It really is, because, you know, for caregivers and for me, my father was ill for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So this was a huge chunk of my life, which was, without guidance, was spent in a very raw emotional state.
Mm.
When someone dies suddenly,
right,
you know, the healing starts right away. But when someone is slipping away every day,
mm-hmm,
little by little, I call it anticipatory grief. You are in a state of grief for a long time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so coming back from that was actually the joy that I discovered and the inspiration that I feel is so available in that process. Because in the caregiving process, I call it the painful gift that transforms your life, because
wow,
you're not the same person. You will
right,
never be the same person. And I think there's this huge opportunity to discover what your passion is,
mm-hmm,
by unraveling the past.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if I may, could I read you one thing out of the book?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I wrote to heal. I just started writing after my father died.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do, and I was just paralyzed. And mm-hmm, so I just tried to empty out, and I wrote. And then it started developing into a system, you know, that I could share with other caregivers, an end-to-end system, so that they could have a guide to know exactly what to do and when to do it.
Mm.
And so that will be coming out soon. But part of this was writing this book, which is my story.
Mm-hmm.
And in the conclusion, I say, caregiving for a loved one offers us an extraordinary opportunity to answer some of the spiritual questions that define who we are. Hardship can make us feel as if we are waking up for the first time and realizing that we are indeed at the wheel of our own life in every way.
Mm.
It is never more important than in the way we respond to the difficult events life brings us. Caring for my father seemed to be an unexpected detour, but looking back, it was the main freeway that allowed me to finally live my life to its fullest potential.
Wow.
How I measured life under the circumstances of my carved-out daily routine was much different before Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
After leaving a successful business to care for my father, I was living a different life. I was living a life that was now measured by love, the reason for which I believe we are all here. Thanks, Daddy. I miss you.
Oh, that's sweet.
Wow.
That is lovely. Wow.
It is
powerful.
it is such an opportunity that you don't want to miss, because as you integrate the loss of someone, it's really not about the past. It's really about the future, because that can fuel. I mean, that's how I found my passion. It's like I am so driven to help other caregivers to get through this and to understand that it's not just about logistics. It's not just about sadness. It's not just about making it through. It is about really finding who you are.
Absolutely. And you know what? I can relate to that in a way. I can say that when I got laid off, you know, I never saw it coming. But, you know, leading up to that point in my life, I started really towards the closer I got to being laid off. You know, now, of course, I didn't know it was coming, but I remember months leading up to it that I had been praying and saying, God, you know, what is my purpose? Because I felt so unfulfilled and so just numb in what I was going through, the motions every day. I would find myself at work and not remember getting there. And so I knew that, that something had to change, because I knew that that's not where I needed to be. And so, you know, again, like you said, your writing was very cathartic for you. I was led to write as well, and guess what? You have the you know, want to inspire people to be better caregivers and show them how to do it, so that you can share your experience. Well, I'm doing the same thing with it as far as, you know, getting through the journey of being laid off. So God works, and He shows us ourselves in the midst of these trials. And I didn't know that I was anointed to write, and He showed me through a life-altering, you know, event that, yeah, I gifted this to you, but here you go, use it.
It's an amazing process. It is an amazing process.
It is. And, you know, and it's a journey that never ends. It's a constant journey. And, you know, I was preparing for tonight's show, Lee and Allie, I actually reached out to a family member who was the primary caregiver for our aunt. And our aunt, who lived until 89, she almost made it to her 90th birthday. She passed away right around the holidays. And so I know that this show is going to be healing for her, because I want her to know that there's hope and that she now is going to live an even more fulfilled life because of the gift. And like you said, the painful journey of losing, you know, her mom and watching her every day, you know, die a little bit more. But I just think that my cousin's life is so much more enriched now, because she has something to say, and I know that she's going to find her voice. And you know, Lee, when I met you, you know, it's your voice that people are going to connect to. It's your story that they're going to connect to. And, you know, we may not be able to touch everybody who we're helping, but we just want people to know who listen to us, because this is like black hole. We don't really know where all our listeners are, but we know they're out there. We want our listeners to know that hope is still alive, and that, you know, whatever we can do, and we want to make sure when your book comes out that we welcome you back to the show.
Absolutely.
So we can, help promote your book. We want to make sure those in our listening audience who are caregivers or anticipate becoming a caregiver get your book. And also with your Love Care System, we want to make sure that that resource is made available to our audience, because it's coming from a real place. It's coming from a caregiver. Okay?
You know, your is it your cousin?
Yes.
That you just mentioned?
Yes. I did.
That, what you were talking about at the end of each chapter, I share something that I learned, and one of them was, let sadness be a doorway to your heart, and don't miss the most important parts by shutting down to avoid the pain of letting go, because that pain really accelerates your healing.
Wow.
A lot of times people do shut down, and it's just, you know, it's hard. It's hard.
It is.
It's raw, but it is real, and it is so healing. It's like walking through fire. But it's like what I call the fire that turns copper into gold.
Right.
Wow. That's what our conference is going to be about. And we're going to talk about different types of life events and not shutting down. And if you feel like you're stuck, how do you become unstuck? You know, how do you get that motivation to move forward and forge forward to kind of find out who you are, how God created you to be the most? He's given everyone God-given talents. You have them. You just have to awaken them. So that's what our conference theme is about. And, you know, Allie, I'm going to turn it back over to you because I know, you know, as we relate this to the life event of being laid off or recently, you know, or empty nesters, you know, your children are going off to college. These are all life events that make you kind of go, okay, what's next for me?
Right.
And, you know, as we related to caregiving, you know, as people are living longer, it's going to touch every family some kind of way. I don't see how people can avoid it.
I mean, it's you have to be in tune with your inner voice, and, you know, I call that my God voice because, you know, thankfully for me, it was only 2 days after I got laid off that I heard that inner voice say, you know, you need to share your journey. And I was like, huh, what? What was that, you know? And he said, you know, clearly I heard, it was like I was having a conversation, you know, write. And I'm like, okay. And then it came to my head, a blog. And then I believe I reached out to you, Mel D, and I shared that idea with you, and you said, you got to do it. That's what you need to be doing because, you know, you kind of knew a little bit about my writing, and you were one of those people that helped to hold me accountable, you know. And so we have to go to, and if you need, and I think that's something else, that we have to go to other people who we know can hold us accountable. And sometimes we can get, you know, started, and then we may get stuck because, you know, all the negative things come, oh, what are you doing? You can't do that. You know, that kind of thing comes back into you. So, you know, you got to have an accountability partner. And there are key people in my life, and you're one of them, LD, that helps to hold me accountable. And, of course, Doc is one of those other people.
Right.
You know, you got to be really careful who you share your vision with and your ideas with because people will stomp them out.
That's right. Lee, who was your major support during and after?
You know, I didn't have one, and I was my own therapist.
Wow.
And actually the process, I came up with a lot of different processes that helped me do that. One of them is called FAST, and it's Focus, Action, Surrender, and Trust.
Oh, that's good.
And I have a little thing about that in the book, and it's really, you know, the more you go inside, the better you get at it.
Wow.
And the more that you find out, for me, I found out that no one could tell me more better. No one knew more than I did about what I needed and what I needed to do than me. But it was finding that inner voice.
Right.
I mean, advice from other people became. That was not something that helped me. What I needed was to find my inner voice and to follow that, which was God.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. So
I have a little gift for y'all.
Oh.
Okay.
This is a quote that I would love for y'all to have because it is so perfect. I have it in the book, but it applies here so perfectly.
Okay.
It says, where your talents and the needs of the world cross, there lies your vocation. These two, your talents and the needs of the world, are the great wake-up calls to your true vocation in life. To ignore either is, in some sense, to lose your soul. And Aristotle wrote that.
Oh, that's good.
Wow, that is awesome.
So I think when you're trying to discover your passion, service to others can never fail.
You got that right. That is absolutely correct. And that's what we are all supposed to do. I mean, that's what God wants us to do. You can never go wrong when you're serving someone else.
That's right.
Never. And, you know, that's what this is about. And I'm careful every day that I continue. And I do surrender, as you mentioned earlier. You have to surrender yourself, because we are not to rely on our own understanding. Lean not into your own understanding, you know. And the only way you can do that is to surrender yourself and in all areas of your life. You know, I'm very careful that I stay humble and understand and know where this all came from and where it flowed from. It didn't come from me. It came from God.
We're just the conduit.
Right. I'm a vessel. I'm just a vessel that he's using, and he's using Mel D to be a vessel to help, and Doc as well, and you're being used as a vessel to help caregivers in their journeys. And, you know, we're all – and, see, I think where most of us go wrong is that we start getting into, I did. No. It doesn't – you know, it begins and ends with God. That's the way I look at it, you know. So we have to really be careful.
I believe that too. I think when you're depending on yourself, I think that's where a lot of fear comes in.
Yes, right.
And the fear gets bigger and bigger because you continually have to live up to something instead of just looking for what God wants you to do next.
Right, right. And the only way you're going to hear that is if you surrender.
Right.
That's right.
So. You got to surrender so he can speak to you.
Right. That's right. Every topic, every episode we cover, we always talk about
that. Inspired.
Because it's not always logical.
It's not
always logical. But it all leads to where you're supposed to be going.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely right. But see, when we start overthinking things and start rationalizing things, that's when we go wrong.
Right, instead of asking.
Right. And God, you know, doesn't always make sense, like you said, but know and trust. See, that's true faith and trust in God when you step out and do something that doesn't make sense. But because you believe him and have faith him, you know that he's not going to steer you wrong. That's true faith, if you ask me.
Do you remember in the movie The Raiders of the Lost Ark where Harrison Ford, when he was in that cave, he stepped out and the path rose up under his feet?
I do.
Yeah. That is what I envision every day.
That's a good one.
If you step out, the path will rise up under your feet.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. That was a good movie. Wow, that was good.
Wow. Well, before we close out this segment, Lee, and, you know, the time it just goes so quickly, any lasting comments or advice that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just, you know, never give up on anything, because the more, you know, you just don't know where one thing is going to lead to the next, to the next, to the next. You don't have to know how. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to keep surrendering, keep asking, and keep taking action toward whatever your goal is. And if you don't know what that is, just keep asking. If you give up on your passion, it's like giving up on breathing.
That's good.
You can't do it. You can quit a job, but you cannot quit your passion.
That's good. Somebody needed to hear that.
That's right.
That is excellent right there. You're absolutely right about that. Wow. Woo. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, I join Mel D in welcoming you back. When your book is out, I look forward to it. I love to read it. And, you know, we want you to come back and share it with our listeners. And, you know, we will let people know how they can get it. And so please, do not be a stranger. And we thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lee.
Now, this time went by so fast, Mel D, but, you know, as we wind down yet another episode, and I'm going to go ahead and relate our program tonight, as we always like to do, back to the Word of God. We always want to connect back to Scripture. So I actually have two scriptures tonight that I want to connect our topic to. And the first scripture is coming from 1 Timothy 5:8, and it reads, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Okay? To me, that says that we have the responsibility of meeting the needs of our family members, and especially those in our, within our immediate household. And the second scripture that I'm going to go to is Exodus 20:12. And this is, and everybody should be familiar with this one, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Now, the question that we ask based on that scripture is, why does God want a person to honor his or her parents? Because, number one, the family is the basic building block of society. And so the stability of the family is essential to the stability of the community. Okay, so the more respectful we are to our family members, you know, and especially our parents, then the greater the degree of respect that we will have to carry out beyond the immediate family and into strengthening the community. So if you have that respect within your home and you know how to treat your family members, you know, starting with your parents, who can also represent not only, you know, relatives, but God, I believe, meant that we should also respect authority in society. So, you know, so if you have that respect within your home, then when you go outside of the four walls of your house, you can respect others within the community. So so go ahead. What my growth work for you will be tonight is to please go ahead and study these two scriptures. Okay, do a little bit of soul searching and take a look at your own family and your family's needs. Even look at your extended family, okay, and ask yourself, are my family's needs being met, all right? And if you have parents or other family members that, you know, may be getting older or what have you, and you may be, you know, a caregiver or a potential caregiver, you need to start thinking about having those hard conversations about their care, their extended care, you know, up through their golden years, as I will call it. It's hard to have those conversations, but they're necessary. Be prepared and make a list and plan to have them. And part of that can even be a lot of people ignore the fact that you need a will. Now, wouldn't you agree with that, Mel D?
I do, definitely.
Yes, so, you know, even if it's as simple as getting a will in place, you know, talk about the fact that, you know, who is going to be, you know, for a parent, you may need to be choose a power of attorney. You know, who can be able, who is that person, that one person who is able to step forward and assume that responsibility? So have those hard conversations. And yes, it is hard, and nobody wants to have that and think about the, you know, mortality. But you have to have those conversations. And I'm thankful that my mom was one of those people who had already been in that mindset, because, you know, it was hard enough losing her. But because she was so proactive and organized, you know, it made handling her affairs after she passed away to, you know, a lot easier. And, you know, we were already grieving her loss, and so it just made it a lot easier. So just do some soul searching, you know, get with your family members, siblings, or what have you, and have those hard discussions, okay? So that's your growth work. So as I mentioned, we, you know, we're almost out of time here, and we thank you for joining us, and I thank you, Mel D, for joining me tonight. I thoroughly enjoyed our guest and our conversation, and so thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And on behalf of There Is Life After Layoff Radio, we sincerely say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. We do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us each and every week. And I pray that you will continue to tune in. And You know, I want to, again, remind all of our listeners about our upcoming one-day conference taking place here in Atlanta on April 11th, titled Seek Me, Awakening the Purpose Within You. Please visit the Atlanta Life Radio website and click on the events page, www.atlantaliferadio.com. And as Mel D mentioned, seats are going fast, so please don't procrastinate. You will be blessed. And real quickly, I also want to say to my daughter, Amani, she is going to be celebrating a birthday on this Friday, so I want to take a moment to say happy birthday, Amani. I love you.
Oh, I'd like to join you, too. Happy birthday, Amani.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my goodness, she's 12. Oh,
yes.
I'm not ready for that. But anyway, until next week, on behalf of myself, Ali, and my co-host for this evening, Mel D, and, of course, we thank our special guest, Lee Lambert, for joining us. We thank you, and we continue to urge you and to be encouraged. And, yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you, and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready what God has for you. Tell yourself, no,
I'm not giving in.
In you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you look, that's when your breakthrough will begin. Freedom I have ever known has come from you alone.